Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Brannon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
All right, welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. I'm joined tonight by Pearl. Do you guys remember Pearl, the little mini schnauzer? She's grown a little bit, not a whole lot, though. She's a small little thing, isn't she? Delta, what do you think of Pearl? Delta gets a... Huh, what do you think? Delta gets a little jealous of Pearl, the mini schnauzer, don't you? You're being a good big sister, but you do get jealous of her, don't you? You do. Yeah. What are you crying about? What do you look at? Go to a close-up on this thing. Look at this thing. Isn't that a gorgeous dog? Sweet little dog, too. These mini schnauzers are the smartest little dogs. Oh, they're so smart. All right, I thought we should show some good news. I thought we should show something fun. She wants the person that owns her. All right, I thought... There's my daughter's dog. I thought that we should start out with something fun and lighthearted, because it's about to get really serious up in here. We have invited back Dr. James Thorpe, OBGYN, Dr. Lee Merritt, orthopedic spinal surgeon, and Karen Kingston, former Pfizer employee and expert on patents and so much more. And I just got a text that we might be joined. I don't know this gentleman, I don't think I do, but we might be joined by Dr. Kirk Milhone. He's a cardiologist, is that right? I think he might be joining us as well. Pediatric cardiologist in Hawaii. I think he might be joining us as well. So I don't think I've ever talked to him, but Dr. John Witcher texted me that he might be willing, that Dr. Kirk might be willing to join us tonight. Anyway, while we're waiting to see what happens, let's welcome back the panel from July 29th. It was such a big hit. We decided to make this something we do every now and then. Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Lee Merritt, Karen Kingston, welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Everybody ready for a big show? Karen,
we were born ready.
Karen, you're not at your kitchen table. Where are you?
I am. I went to Brighton a couple weeks ago, and they told me how to set up a studio at home. So
well, look at you.
Behind this is my pictures. I know. Apparently, this is my new job. I need to actually act like it. So.
Well, there you go. Well, good for you guys. All right. Well, we've got – do any of you guys know who Dr. Kirk Milhone is?
Is he the doctor that – was it – did Dr. Malone interview him? He's
a pediatric cardiologist in Hawaii.
Yeah, I believe Dr. Malone interviewed him regarding the COVID-19 injections and the effects on pediatric myocarditis and pericarditis. Right. I think he's the most qualified people in the world. I believe that's him.
Well, we might have him join us for a few minutes as well. Comes by recommendation by Dr. John Witcher. All right, well, let's get started. While we go around the horn and get an update, from all of you. Let's start with you, Dr. Lee Merritt. What's the latest that since we were together last July 29th, which was, by the way, people just loved that broadcast. That's why we're doing this again for the whole 90 minutes. And we're going to hint into the newsroom, heads up in the newsroom, in the control room. We might be taking phone calls tonight as well. But Dr. Lee, give us an update of what's been going on since we last got together as a panel. What have you seen since July 29th?
Well, I mean, in terms of the actual nightmare that we're living through, I mean, I think people on the street, you know, the thing about data, I love data, but data doesn't seem to matter here. What matters is people are being sheltered from the reality. And I think that shelter is breaking down. I think more people are starting to experience problems in their own families. I mean, there's almost not a day that passes when I don't have somebody call me. Now, in one day, I got these two calls. I got a call from a city quite a ways in the same state of me, but a ways away, saying my friend's 11-year-old daughter was found dead in bed. And then one of my office staff people had a young friend who took the, apparently not the first of the vaccine series, but farther down, like the third or second in the series, the week before she was due to deliver. Presumably, she talked to her doctor. But anyway, and had been normal pregnancy up until that point and delivered a stillborn. I think that the numbers are going to be overwhelmed by the physical reality that we see. I think people are starting to wake up a little bit.
Well, and we're going to play a video clip, Logan, that I want to cue that up so you're ready, of a funeral director. I played it during my broadcast just a while ago, the Worldview Report, but I think it bears playing again. Karen, the numbers of people that are dying is so great now, but unless you're really tuned in to the alternative media, the average Americans have no idea how many people are dying. And then when you try to explain to people who don't follow this like we do, hey, 44% is reported of women who have had the shot while pregnant have had miscarriages. Those numbers seem over the top, crazy. When you talk about the number of people dying now, of young people, exceeds that of the Vietnam War, those numbers, again, in this short period of time, seem like you're making a very unreasonable statement. Can you speak to that?
I think there's a number of things that are happening. This increase in sudden adult death syndrome, and for some reason, there's a cognitive dissonance still. So we all know someone that's lost someone that is relatively young. My oldest brother is going to be 60 soon. He's lost several friends already from the shots. And, you know, prior to that, he maybe lost a friend every 3 or 4 years. And it was usually because of lifestyle choices. So I think there's just cognitive dissonance going on with that. And then the other thing that I think we're going to talk about later is this increase in cancer. So I do have friends who lost parents after they got their double shots, or the shot and then a booster. And then an aggressive form of cancer showed up and they died within literally a couple of weeks of one of the shots. And so I have friends who have experienced that and have attributed it to the shots. And then I have other friends who, again, there's that cognitive dissonance. I'm not sure what it's going to take for people to wake up. And to be quite honest with your viewers, I've been following Dr. Thorpe on Getter, and I'm looking forward to his report. I know he did a lot of posts regarding the UK report now banning or strongly recommending against pregnant women being vaccinated. So I'm looking forward to his discussion about that. And then Dr. Lee Merritt and I have actually been talking behind the scenes about the bigger picture regarding the COVID-19 injections, that not only is it meant to cause disease, disabilities, and deaths, but more and more information is coming out that there is, in fact, graphene oxide in these and other electromagnetic materials that can conduct the electromagnetic field. And so where is the bigger picture going in regards to the Internet of Things, which is now being branded as the Internet of Bodies? So that's for another discussion. But to be quite honest, I've been following Dr. Thorpe and talking to Dr. Merritt behind the scenes the last couple of days. So pretty excited to be here speaking with you guys live.
Absolutely. Thank you, Karen. Dr. Thorpe, speak to this number. What's the number of women? Is it 40% of women that had the COVID shot during their pregnancy had miscarriages? Is that number accurate? Is that too low? Is it too high?
We simply don't know, Brannon. What we do know is if you take the Pfizer document, Pfizer 5.3.6, really, that's a document that was made publicly available, was the April Fool's joke from Pfizer, the April Fool's joke on all the American, on all the world citizens, their death knell, April Fool's joke, telling them that, yes, our internal documents, we've known that we're killing people. We know that we're killing and maiming individuals and pregnant moms and fetuses. We know all this. If you don't believe me, go look it up. Go into your, you know, those viewing this now, go into your non-biased search engine. Go to DuckDuckGo. Type in Pfizer 5.3.6. You'll come up with a public website. This is a website that the federal judge demanded, made Pfizer release the data. Remember, they didn't want to release this data for 75 years. 75 years, I would have been long gone. Right. Most of us would have been. So why did they wait? Well, the federal judge said no. They downloaded the document. And there we see in the first less than 120 days, December, mid-December through end of February 2021, there are 1,223 deaths. And also, if you go to the page, that's on page 7, table 1, massive number of adverse events. And then if you go to page 12 in this public document, this is Pfizer themselves telling you that we're killing and murdering women and children, pregnant women, my patients, my fetuses, babies. They had 270 pregnant women. They didn't follow up 238 of them, Brannon.
Right.
That's what they've said in the report. And the miscarriage rate there was way north of 70%.
Whoa. So, whoa. Let me stop right there. The miscarriage rate among, in that one study, of women who got the COVID shot while pregnant was high, was above 70% in that one.
That's correct. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And if that's not bad, the Shema Bakuro, the corrupt, fraudulent flagship journal of the New England Journal of Medicine, and the famous chief, editor-in-chief, he had the audacity to publish a year ago the Shema Bakuro article, and in that article, they manipulated the data. They cheated. Yeah. They fraudulently reported a miscarriage rate of 13% when it was north of 80%. Mm-hmm. So it turns out that the Pfizer vaccine is a better abortion pill than the abortion pill. It's a better abortifacient than the abortion pill, RU486, mifepristone. If you got abortion rates up towards 80%, mifepristone, RU486, has a black box warning, which is a warning right next to taking the drug off the market. You're not allowed to use that drug in the general population without extreme surveillance. Yet we're pushing the vaccine. The other big news on my front, and Karen, it's so good to see you again, and Lee and Brannon and Logan behind the scenes. But, you know, it's unbelievable that the British government, the United Kingdom government, brought forth a document that's been sitting around for almost a year where they said the vaccine should not be used in pregnant women, should not be used in lactating women. And this was just republished just a week or so ago. So this was not a mistake, but nobody picked up on it, including myself, because, you know, I've got 13 gigabytes of download the first of every month from the tranches.
Wow. Is that you, Dr. Lee Merritt? I hear affirming what he's saying.
Yeah, that study that I noticed this early on, the study that he quoted about the pregnant women. Literally, we have doctors saying, okay, it's safe and effective in pregnant women, when they, out of 270 women, they could only prove one live birth. Let's just think about that. I mean, yeah, they lost a lot to follow up, but that's still saying they could only prove one live birth. And what does that tell you? That for a year these governments knew, Pfizer knew. You know, we have to stop thinking about this as accident or ignorance or, you know, just money. This cannot just be about money. This is not about money. This is about true evil. This was planned. How could you? And all those government people that hid this, they're culpable. You know, the level of culpability here is just boggles the mind. I'm sorry, but it's not understandable on the basis of medicine or science or anything we've ever seen. I mean, the military, they've discharged more people from the military than they would have lost from COVID. So just that number alone doesn't make sense. All the safety, every facet, you know, the VAERS was set up for an early warning system. They didn't use it that way. The manual of the medical departments in all the services on how to deal with new drugs and pilots, completely abandoned. Basic medical ethics, completely abandoned. You know, the rules of informed consent, completely abandoned. You know, you can't give informed consent when you don't know what's in the vaccine. So you tell me. I mean, this is the level of, people can be, and I will say this. They've trained doctors not to believe the evidence before their eyes. That's what we've been learning for the last 30 years in medicine. And I kind of got on the tail end of when we, I think, actually taught medicine. We said, if it takes 10 statisticians on a paper to make it right, it's probably not right. And if it violates your understanding of basic human physiology, you have to question it no matter what the data is. That isn't what they're telling these guys. What they're telling the young doctors today is if we say it in a double blind or in a 30-year study or in a formal study and it gets published in the New England, I forgot what Dr. Thorpe calls the New England Journal, but it's pretty funny. Then, these god-awful papers, these journals now have been called so corrupt. You publish it in that, it's the truth. It doesn't matter that experienced physicians are saying something else. It doesn't matter that people can see with their own eyes something is wrong. That's what, what Karen's saying about cognitive dissonance. It's like you see the world, you see what's going on, but you're being gaslit and told it's all right over here. It's like Canada now, where I don't know if you saw the video, but Mark Stein is pretty darn funny. But this is kind of tragic funny when he says he goes about Alberta. Now, the number one reason for death in Alberta is unknown. Unknown. And what are the symptoms of unknown? They're also unknown.
Yeah. Well, almost on every night I'm reporting at Worldview Report, almost every night or every other night I'm reporting on another young person, another young healthy athlete that has died. What are the numbers? Does anyone have the numbers as to how many young people have died? Because I was hearing a report the other day that the number of young people that have died now has exceeded the number of young men in America that died in the Vietnam War. Can anyone speak to that?
Yeah, I can.
Edward
Downey. Hard to get the numbers.
Go ahead, Karen. Go ahead, Dr. Thorpe.
Go ahead, Karen.
Okay, Karen.
I think we were going to say the same thing. Edward Dowd had covered it. It's something around 61,000, I think, that's been accounted for so far from these injections. And we know that there's hundreds of professional athletes, I think specifically even just footballers, which are soccer players, that have died as well. So I know too, like here in Hollywood, I'm not far from Hollywood. I can just tell you that the live shows, like So You Think You Can Dance, America's Got Talent. My son and I used to go regularly as an audience, and they require that you're fully vaccinated. So you have to be double jabbed and boosted, or even double boosted. And some of their participants who are typically in their 20s and 30s, actually they are in their 20s and 30s, are all dying, or their fiancés are dying, or their spouses are dying. And it's because there is a requirement to be injected to be part of those shows. So the numbers are absolutely through the roof. One of the things I wanted to say regarding what Dr. Merritt was talking about in regards to the peer-reviewed publications being the truth, or the FDA data being the truth, Dr. Merritt had me on her show this week or last week. And what I talked about was, this isn't the first time pharmaceutical companies lied to the FDA regarding the submission of the data. And if you go through the data that's actually submitted to the FDA and what they based historically approvals on, or now this case, the authorization on, the charts and the introductions and the summaries don't actually match up with the raw data that you find when you read the report. And the same is true in the last several years regarding peer-reviewed journals and the publications. So if you read the introduction and you read the conclusion, you'll find that the numbers that they present as far as being safe or effective, or, you know, no risk for the article that Dr. Thorpe was talking about with the only 13% miscarriage rate. Well, then when you actually read through the document and you see how they calculate the numbers, you'll see that that number was actually 80% for the real number. So people aren't even believing the data when it's right in front of their eyes. We've become this society, including our medical doctors, that have a 8 to 15 second attention span, and they're not willing to actually discipline themselves to look at data and educate themselves about the truth. And it's a really sad state of affairs because, you know, how can you claim to be an expert, you know, if you have an attention span of 8 to 15 seconds to get information that could possibly end someone's life?
Dr. Thorpe?
Yes, absolutely, indeed. It's very important. We just had release of the Biden administration emails that were obtained, I think, by FOIA. They were reported today, in which there was heavy pressure and coercion to persuade all the influencers to push the vaccine and eliminate vaccine hesitancy. Also, this week, we have the landmark, I think, a very, very important study from Germany, from Europe, Western Europe, and it's the Palmer and Botke study. And thank you, Karen, for highlighting my Getter account. They haven't deplatformed me yet on Getter like they have all my other accounts for simply stating the truth. But I posted all of those autopsy microscopic sections. This is a landmark article. This is Palmer and Botke, and they have a whole series of autopsy results and special stains from all the body organs of the people, and they proved that there was a causal relationship between those dying and dying from the vaccine injury. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Look at those. There's probably 20 posts on my Getter account of their microscopic slides, and I describe them all. So they do special stains of the vasculature of the entire, all the organs. And all of the organs are massively inflamed with the endothelium, the lining cells of all the blood vessels. They're all disrupted and inflamed with clot. They're very, very strong, clear evidence that the vaccine is killing people by a variety of mechanisms, but this is primarily not a pulmonary disease. It's not pneumonia. It's a vascular disease. Mm-hmm. And everywhere that goes, it causes a massive endothelitis. And this is why people are dropping dead. You talk about people dropping dead. What about all the young, beautiful doctors that the Prime Minister of Canada has killed? There's a massive number, 30 of them. This is not normal. Wake up, people. Young, healthy doctors don't drop dead in their 30s, in their 40s. I'm 69. I've never seen anything like this in my life where doctors are dropping dead. Justin Trudeau is responsible for killing these doctors and many other people in Canada.
I think we have a graphic. Logan, you have a graphic, you think, that's what he's referring to? Let's throw that on the screen. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, hopefully the male doctors don't have one of these. This
no,
is
that's
a placenta.
That's a placenta. It says right there.
Yeah,
the
but you never know because American.
Yeah. Well, this day and age, they can't define what's a woman or not. But anyway.
Well exactly. I think the more important thing for the all the
just
medical specialists.
Just for the record, the guys in the control room said, I think I have what he's. And he couldn't read the small print in the control room. But as soon as it popped up, anyway. But here's what sparked that. They telling me in the control room, because the guys in the control room sit and listen to these shows all day long, and they told me in my ear that Dr. Naomi Wolf showed that slide when discussing you, Dr. Thorpe.
Yes, because
but
I gave
let me
it
just
to
clarify
her.
For the guys in the control room. The print is so small they didn't see placenta, but it went, when it went up on the 85-inch screen TV right next to me, I'm like, okay, I don't know what that is. But I want to clarify, the boys in the control room know that men don't have placentas. But anyway, why was Dr. Naomi talking about that slide and you?
Because I gave it to her, okay. But it wasn't mine. I'm a biological male. I'm a male.
Yeah, it's not yours. Great, right. But why did you give her that slide?
I gave her this slide because this is a vaccinated placenta. This is classic placental pathology 8 weeks after a Pfizer vaccine. And typically, I apologize for showing this slide because, you know, I really wouldn't expect anybody to know what this is unless they're obstetricians or nurses. But this is a placenta that is very abnormal in appearance. This is typically what we see. There's an instant pattern recognition. I've seen so many of these. And this is, and by the way, the Moderna vaccine looks differently 8 weeks after the vaccine than the placenta of the Pfizer vaccine. What you see is the darker areas, you see six or seven, what we call lobules or cotyledons. And those are responsible for acting as the lung and the kidneys for the baby, the fetus in the utero. So, the placenta does not normally look like this. But what has caused this is a severe inflammation caused by a massive inflammatory effect. This is either directly related to the poison in the vaccine itself, or it's related to the inflammatory nature, or it's related to the spike protein. But whenever you see a calcified cotyledons like that, which is a very advanced mature placenta, which is abnormal at 35 weeks, you have to think of a concerning blood-borne inflammatory process in the placenta, because you don't get calcification like that in the placenta without inflammation.
Let's go to a slide Logan has in there. I think this comes from the CDC Morbidity and Mortality Weekly, MMWR.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is MMWR, Morbidity and Mortality, and this is a publication every week, weekly report, MMWR, and this actually, why don't you speak on this, Karen? I was given this slide by Dr. Ryan Cole, a good friend of mine. As I look at it, this is a massive increase in cancers for anybody that's gotten the vaccine, and all types of cancers. And I have family members and friends that have come down with very advanced aggressive cancers just since their vaccinations.
And it says at the top for the audience that maybe can't read it, cancer variants against trend, 2014 to 2022. And so if you look at the top, and that's to assume then that if to the far left on the screen there, the far left as you're looking at the screen, you see it. And then as it moves toward 2022, you see this massive spike. So that is the cancer. And then the second slide below that, excessive non-COVID natural death variants against trend 2014 to 2022. So the top one is cancer. The bottom one is excess non-COVID natural death. So you see the spikes. So Karen, you want to speak to these two graphs?
Yeah, so I think this is likely the per 100,000. So what you can see is from 2014 through mid-2021, there's just this general fluctuation of really less than 0.2% excess cancer, or it dips below. So it actually, although it kind of looks like a bumpy EKG, that's actually a pretty steady line, because this is probably the per 100,000. And then you'll see the massive jump just mid-2021, so 6 months post the vaccine.
So that line is going down the chart on the far right, it's kind of where you see it kind of go down on the top chart and then spikes up. That's kind of obviously where we had a lot of people getting the shot, correct?
Correct. And then the bottom chart, the excess non-COVID natural death, I don't think that data is nearly as damning as the cancer data. And, you know, we'll just have to see. I believe There was a press release that the CDC put out a few months ago saying that they were having administration and technical issues, so they're backlogged on reporting deaths. So that number is going to spike as well. But in regards to the spike to the cancers, you know, I know the general clinical hypothesis is that the mRNA and the spike protein cause a major suppression of the innate immune response and also then creates chaos. So your body doesn't know to kill the bad cells and the cancer cells, which is causing an overabundance growth of the cancer, right, because it's not being killed. But I was kind of joking on our little text chat before when you told us to look for some research on increased cancer. And I was like, hey, I found this on my Getter account. Last October, I did an interview with you, Brannon. And what I disclosed was that in the patents for the mRNA vaccines, so this is for all COVID-19 injections, it states that the HeLa cell line can be part of those vials. And the HeLa cell line is the immortal cancer cell line. It was taken from a woman who died at the age of 31 in 1954 from cervical cancer. The HeLa cell line is so aggressive that even when scientists are doing lab work and they're using samples of the HeLa cell line, if it's near other samples, it can infect those samples and cause cancer in non-related oncology studies. So absolutely, they have nothing to do with cancer. So it's a very aggressive cancer. In the patents, it also says that there can be vascular endothelial growth factor included. That's VEGF, could be in the vials. And what that does is it allows for aggressive growth of the vasculature, so angiogenesis. So it allows for growth of that tumor. And there also can be serum response factor. And that's really important, too. It actually is related to what you were saying earlier about the development of embryonic mice embryos without a sperm and an egg. Serum response factor, if that's in these vials, it allows for genetic expression in an embryo, but it can also allow for genetic expression of a non-human gene in a human cell line.
And that's what I was reporting. You must have been listening to my worldview report tonight, where I was talking about that, where they're trying to create this synthetic life.
Yeah.
Yes. What they're likely using SRF as part of one of the factors or enzymes, if you will, to augment the growth of those embryos. But if that's in these vials, then that can allow for this aggressive growth, how people go from having absolutely no cancer to within 8 days having a stage 4 tumor. That doesn't make sense. That's not the product of just having a suppressed immune system.
That's right.
You need something there to expedite that growth. So that would have to be exposure to HeLa, and then the addition of VEGF or SRF, and it's in the patent. And I should make a T-shirt that says that, because I say it all the time. But anyway.
Absolutely. Dr. Lee?
Well, I was just going to say, there is another possibility here. Now, we're seeing, I mean, this whole big storm about whether or not there's even genetic material in these vaccines. I mean, that's come up. The Germans just said something about that. But one of the things we know are the graphene oxides in here. And if you... You know, what do they not want us to use? What do they not want us to use this whole thing? They didn't want us to know about it. They shut it down. You can't get them from the pharmacies. Antiparasitic drugs. One of the things those graphs do not tell you is that not only are we seeing this big boom in cancer, it's not normal cancer. You're seeing, I mean, I've had cancer doctors talk to me. I've had a lot of talk with military doctors. These young guys in the military getting cancer, they're not just getting like one, you know, like normally. How do we know most people get cancer? Oh, I felt a lump in my testicle. That's a classic military cancer, okay? They're the group that get testicular cancer, the 19 to 25-year-old young men. They find something, they go to the urologist, and it's a cancer, and they deal with it, okay? But that's not what we're finding. They're finding multiple, like, they show up with mets all over the place, okay? And another thing that we're noticing, or that somebody has noticed, is that in at least a couple of these cases, when they took an antiparasitic drug, it made a difference. Now, I'm just saying that because part of this issue could be that we've been so far led astray on what we believe the reality of cancer is. And you know, if you look at cancer under the microscope, and you look at parasite egg sacs under the microscope, they're pretty darn close. In fact, sometimes indistinguishable. So maybe we should be looking at maybe there's a whole other mechanism here that we're not aware of, because Karen's right. I mean, normally cancer doesn't take off like this. I mean, what's going on here? And it's right. It could be the HeLa cells. It could be something else in there. but it may be that our paradigm is wrong. And that seems to be the gameplay of these psychopaths, is to make us, you know, we're jigging to the right when we should be looking to the left, kind of thing. I just, there's some reason they don't want us to use antiparasitic drugs, and it just can't be because of, you know, they think they don't work. They know that they work. And you can look at them in cancer literature, how many cancer literature now is coming out. The two drugs that they added to remdesivir to try and make it look better were ivermectin and nitazoxanide. And nitazoxanide is the bomb for parasites, but it also turns out to be an anti-cancer thing.
Are you saying then that one of the reasons the war on ivermectin was not only to keep pumping people with remdesivir, which the hospitals were getting a bonus for, but they want people to die of cancer, and they don't want them to take a drug that would help treat their COVID and also prevent the cancers? Are you saying there again is a plan for a eugenics depopulation plan that wants them to die of cancer?
Well, I think it looks like they want us to die. And think about in the long term here, if you want to keep a working class, a serf class, a good way to let the old people die is think they have an incurable disease that nobody knows anything about, that we haven't had big headway in saving people over a long time. Dealing with the great war on cancer really hasn't produced a lot. You know, I mean, to me, it's a great way to get rid of the useless mouth breathers, as it was called in Germany.
And Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, you know, this kind of thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Look at Canada now. 30% of the elderly going to the hospitals are being offered euthanasia. You know, that doesn't come as a surprise to some of us. I have a video out there somewhere about the lessons of Carl Brandt. People should watch it. I mean, this was from 2009. This is exactly – he wasn't a bad guy. He was an orthopedic surgeon like myself, and he was trying to do the right thing. But they had a belief that when the nation was at risk, that the individual didn't matter. And this is the same kind of philosophy they have. You know, Canada, all these old people are sucking off the Medicare and the government dole, and they need – we'll just, you know, make our bottom line look better.
Get rid of them. I have a friend that did not get the shot, has been around a lot of people that did, family members, and is a senior, and now has a slow-growing type of leukemia. Could that be because someone being around people that had the shot and shedding? I mean, and the individual also had COVID, a very severe case of COVID, but has never had the shot. What are your thoughts?
Well, one case it's hard to say, but you know, if he had a very severe case of COVID, his immune system could have taken a hit. I don't know. We're definitely seeing the problems of shedding. I mean, with the vaccine, it's doing something to other people. I don't know. Have you guys heard of cancers breaking out among unvaccinated around vaccinated? That's not what I've been hearing about. But then again, that may be sampling error.
But I do, as you know, Dr. Lee, because I called to consult with you, have a family member that did not get the shot, but was around people that did, and they were kissing and hugging on him at a family funeral, and next thing you know, he's got, what is it called,
Guillain-Barré. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
within three days of the funeral, and everybody, that a lot of people vaxxed who were kissing and hugging on him.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, it does.
RNA technology was used originally to allegedly treat rare forms of cancer, very aggressive rare forms of cancer. And Taylor Zack speaks about this at a TED Talk. But if you look at Moderna or BioNTech or any of these companies, they were treating people that allegedly had only 2 or 3 weeks left to live. And so they could experiment on them. So if they died within 2 days, it wasn't suspicious. So, you know, when you're getting now a quote unquote vaccine to treat a virus and all of a sudden you get cancer, people aren't correlating it. But when they're using gene editing technology to allegedly cure cancer, keep in mind it can also cause the cancer. So that's what you're seeing here. And then if you use lipid nanoparticle technology that has a positive ionic charge and they've made hydrophilic, so it likes water, okay? And it's attracted, it has a positive charge to penetrate into the cells. It's in the patents, by the way. And it's nano-sized. When a virus is a micrometer, and now you're talking about, you know, 1/100th, 1/1000th of that size, I think it's unreasonable to think that someone who's injected cannot shed this technology onto another person. Because the whole concept of being transmissible is that you have something that's a micrometer size, such as a bacteria or a virus, that has no ionic charge. It has no charge to actually penetrate cells. And we know that these LMPs all have a positive ionic charge and have been made to not only be attracted high to water, but then once they get into an aqueous environment, to then disperse throughout the body. That's how they were designed.
So
the concept that this isn't transmissible, I think is, I think that's irresponsible science, you know, to rule that out. I think it, you know, it's a very reasonable hypothesis that's going to be proven to be true.
Yeah, I have a friend that got the shot and within a few months had a massive, massive tumor in one of his vital organs.
And, you know, keep in mind, too, it's interesting to me that Fort Detrick, what is it now? You know, it was our bioweapons lab, and then we had the bioweapons treaty, and what did it turn into? Oh, cancer research. It, you know, in the history since 1940s in the Japanese in Manchuria, when we've hid bioweapons research in veterinary medicine, and they still are, that's still there. But also cancer therapy. I just want to point out that it's like gene therapy. You know, this whole idea that we spent $30 billion a year over the last 10 to 20 years on research into gene therapy. But less than 3% of it, demonstrably, is going into any kind of actualized medicine. And when I looked at one of the samples, which also brings a question about what's really happening here, one of the examples they give of useful gene therapy that really, oh, this is really working. Now, very small numbers of patients, but it has to do with blindness, and it's some genetic defect in the eye, and they have successfully, they say, treated it. Each one of those treatments costs between, and this is 2017 data, costs between $800,000 and $1 million. Now, how did they then suddenly make this cost effective to put it out on the whole world, right? That's a question. And I'm one of my, but it makes me kind of, it's like the questions people are asking about NASA. If they're really not going out in space, where is all the money going? You know, if we're really not curing cancer, where's all the money going? What is all the gene therapy money going to? There's a lot of slush fund potential here to target depopulation or whatever you want to do. To make it a weapon is what I'm saying.
The lady Austin Fitz, if you guys know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Catherine Austin Fitz.
She claims there are trillions and trillions of dollars missing from the government. Just gone. They won't account for it. Trillions. Mm-hmm.
Well, Rumsfeld reported that to us. $3 trillion was missing. And he reported it on September 10th, 2001, and it somehow got lost in the news cycle.
The next day was September 11th, right?
Go figure how it got lost in the news cycle.
Dr. Thorpe?
To your point, the lipid nanoparticles, especially the spike protein, I am 100% certain that the spike protein shedding is causing major issues in women of reproductive age. And I can tell you that from studies that we've done. Our MyCycleStory.com, Tiffany Parato, and several doctors with the Child's Health Defense Fund and from around the country, we published our first paper earlier this year. And interestingly, these are women that have severe menstrual abnormalities. Never before had them in their lives. And, you know, the vast majority of those women are not vaccinated and report the onset of their very significant menstrual irregularity and infertility when they've been around in close proximity to people that were recently vaccinated.
Hmm. What about women that maybe are in their late 40s that are reporting weird things going on with their cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Could that be related to it? And who were not vaccinated, by the way?
Absolutely, yes. That's exactly what we found.
I mean, I didn't know what you define as childbearing age. So I'm just thinking people in their late 40s, early 50s, I know.
15 to 50, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Postmenopausal women are bleeding and little girls are bleeding, right?
That's
how many, I'd like to know the numbers if we have any on your – I mean, with Christiana Northrup, I know, is part of that group, the My Cycle story. Do we have a number on the children, the girls that are bleeding?
We don't have an absolute number. And it is, we have to be careful with an absolute number because, of course, it was obtained by a questionnaire survey, and that may be slightly biased. But very clearly, it is adversely affecting many people, just the shedding without the vaccine.
And, wow, okay.
And I have a question. Do you guys see that? I saw it a lot at first. I don't have as many people calling about that now and talking to me about that as I did when the vaccine first rolled out. Do you think it's still as problematic?
I don't know because I don't – Dr. Thorpe, you'll have to answer that. But I'm wondering if people are starting to get conditioned.
Mm-hmm. To your point, Dr. Merritt, I think that it is just as prevalent. Okay. Now, our next paper that will probably be submitted later this year is looking just at the shedding and the incidence, and hopefully, and we're doing another survey from a national survey that is will not be biased, and it'll give us a little bit better idea in terms of prevalence and risk.
What about the children? I'm reading reports now about children now suffering from dementia. Have you read those articles?
I've heard of them, and I've also had a lot of mothers who were vaccinated during pregnancy with complaining of significant, God willing, they're not permanent, immune deficits in their offspring, in their children, in their toddlers, their 1 and 2 year olds. We've had an increase in cancers, really unexplained cancers in babies in the first couple of years of life, totally not really seen before. Dr. Ryan Cole, the expert pathologist, has talked to me about this. And on that note, just for anybody in the audience or anybody here on the panel, just I've just soul searched myself, and I'm aware of about 10 people that I know that have had massively aggressive cancers of the pancreas, of the thyroid, of the lung, of the breast, of the bowel, of the prostate, and just recently vaxxed, and boom, the cancer takes off very rapidly, very aggressively, and very suddenly. Mm-hmm. Very concerning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dementias, increase in dementias, increase in obviously cardiovascular disease, significant increase in POTS syndrome, the autonomic dysfunction that I think is related to autoimmune disorder, and then VAIDS, vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And it's exactly what we saw in the 1980s before the HIV was diagnosed, exactly what we saw, an increase mushrooming of opportunistic infections. Remember Kaposi's sarcoma? I know Dr. Merritt remembers that. We're about in the same genre. And so this is what we're going to see. We're going to continue to see a significant die-off, which is already in progress. We're looking at a 10 to 15% pandemic caused by unknown. All over the world, 10 to 20%, all over the world, it's more pronounced in the vaccinated countries, and the die-off seems to have started after the onset of the vaccination.
In fact, with that, let's go to a clip we have that I played during the World View Report. I think this guy is Undertaker, and he listen to what he's reporting. Roll that, if you would, please, Logan.
Want to talk to you is I think your partner said you used to do 2 to 3 funerals a week. Now you're doing about 6 to 7. Is that correct?
Yes, we've been that busy, Michael, the last little while. Even this morning, I didn't know you were coming to town, but this morning I've counted the numbers in the book, you know, for the past 6 months, and exactly, almost exactly, we're up in the last 6 months by 50%. So that's why we've been so busy, and I was very concerned because on Tuesday of this week, a very, very special school friend who I sat next to for 5 years. We had his funeral service on Tuesday. He was born in 1955. I'm seeing lots of people dying that are born in the 60s and beyond. So it's not just the elderly. And it's and when you feel that something's not quite right, you'll see a death notice. We may not be the funeral directors, but I think, hang on, that person is normally a super fit person. And I've had a few instances happen in the last 6 months where it has been quite startling that they would actually pass away.
How are they passing away? Is it like slow or quick? Or what are they dying of?
Well, it seems that some are dying in their sleep. There's been two or three that I know that have had... this is not necessarily my funeral company, but there's this particular one I was thinking of, the super fit person. She died of a brain aneurysm, and I've noticed there's been two or three of those around the northern part of Tasmania. So there's something that's not quite right. It just doesn't feel right to me, and I just can't put my finger on it right now. But it seems to have happened very suddenly, because you can imagine we need to pre-plan with sort of staffing, with our premises, and it's only been the last, say, 7 months. The previous 10 and a quarter years were very, very consistent, but this has been a rapid rise in the last 6 to 7 months. So we're quite concerned.
Wow. Anyone want to comment?
I've heard this. Go ahead.
Go ahead, doctor.
Well, I was just going to say 6 to 7 months. That's a number that rings to me, because if you look at the pandemic of 1918, it was a very, very sharp peak of dying that occurred between basically September to the 1st of December of 1918. And what happened 6 months before that is when they did all these multiple vaccines from the Rockefeller Foundation to the troops and to the Indian reservation people around there, and to all, that's when it was all these people got vaccinated. And then they were vaccinated because there was a fear about getting a disease. And so they vaccinated all these people, and 6 months later they had a very sharp die off, and then it went away.
Mm. All right, hang on right there.
Never to be seen again.
Hang right there, guys. Let me just do a little thing to help pay the bills here. Folks, where are you going to see a program like this? You know, it's reported that Newsmax, Fox News, were taking money from the Biden administration to promote the vaccines, so-called vaccines. So a lot of people will not talk about this. A lot of people certainly would not talk about it as much as we do, nor commit 90 minutes to this topic. But this is so very, very vital. Now, if you appreciate what we're doing, folks, here's what you need to understand. It's free for you to watch, but our bandwidth bill is thousands of dollars a month just to let you watch it for free. We could put everything behind a paywall, but we don't. Not to mention we have to pay all the people involved with running all that we're doing. My worldview report that you just saw from 7 to 7:30 Central, that takes seven people, about 15 man hours a day, to put together that 30-minute news show. Okay, and that included that clip you just saw. So here's how you can support us, and then we'll get right back to the doctors. Couple ways. One, you can go to wvwfoundation.com and just make a contribution of any size. wvwfoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. And Logan, you can even put that on the screen if you want, that mailing address, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Again, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. That's wvwfoundation.com. You'll find it there as well. If you prefer to support us through a phone call and make a contribution over the phone, that number is 901-468-9357, area code 901-468-9357. Again, area code 901-468-9357. You can also use that number if you want to order emergency freeze-dried food. We go to the screen here. You can see the different plans we have. We've been distributors of emergency freeze-dried food that, frankly, is very good, okay? It is. And if you don't believe me, you can get the 72-hour test kit and try it out. But you can also get the 4-week, the 1 year, the 3 month, the 6 month, and we'll be adding a 4-week or a 2-week plan on there this week, as well as this weekend we'll get caught up and add gluten-free that we have. All this is at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. It's a big, big part of our general operating budget. You can also, again, order that through the phone line, 901-468-9357. A gentleman called today to place an order. He bought 3-year supply, and he said on his own, he volunteered, I'm also buying enough for my neighbors. I'm also buying enough to tide my family and my neighbors over. I think it probably was just him and his wife. He sounded like an older gentleman. So it was, from what we gathered, what I was told, for he and his wife and some of their neighbors. And he was thinking of them. And so he said, I want to do a 3-year supply. Wow. That's thinking ahead, but also thinking generously. So, again, you can order it online, WVWTVstore.com. It's a big part of our general operating budget. We've been offering emergency freeze-dried food since 2016 because I got enough for my family in 2013 for quite some time. And then I mentioned it finally on the air. And that's when so many people wanted it. We thought, well, let's offer it as a service to our audience, but also help support our general operating budget. And so, again, you can order it at WVWTVstore.com or use that number, 901-468-9357. Also, don't forget, there at WVWTVstore.com, you can order the tickets for our Ozarks Worldview Weekend. Dr. Lee Merritt, Karen Kingston, Patrick Wood, Terry Turchi. Terry Turchi, by the way, again, a former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI. I mention his title quite a bit because with what's going on in the world right now, you don't have someone with that kind of credibility at your conferences very often. We look forward to having Terry there. Annie Cyrus, Dr. Woods, Dr. Peter McCullough, Leo Holman, Roger Stone, Mike Lindell, and myself. General seating, priority seating. I think priority seating is pretty well full. General seating is available still. The Thursday night concert banquet is an option. Saturday luncheon on noon is an option. But otherwise, just get tickets to the conference. Make sure you're there. You book your reservations for the resort. If they're sold out, I haven't checked lately, but if they are, you know, there are plenty of other resorts on Lake of the Ozarks and hotels, and don't let that keep you from showing up. It's centrally located in the country, beautiful Lake of the Ozarks, 1,150 miles of shoreline. It's gorgeous there that time of the year. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. You can order those tickets there. It starts at 6 p.m. Central Time on that Friday night. That Friday night, October 14th, it starts at 6 p.m. Central Time that night. Then Saturday morning, it starts back up, I think at 8:30. Runs to noon, four-hour break in there for those that want to go do whatever they want to do, and those who are attending the luncheon can go to that. And then it starts back up at 4 o'clock and goes to about 9 o'clock that night. And then Sunday morning worship is 9 o'clock till 11:30 Sunday morning, and then people can leave. Some are coming in a day early and enjoying the resort and what the lake area has to offer. Others are staying a day or two after. That's completely up to you, but make it a family vacation with a purpose, if you will. Okay, all of that's there as well. Then finally, don't forget about going to MyPillow.com and using that promo code B66. That'll get you savings, and then we get credit. You get savings when using that code. The prices of those products will come down when you use that code B66, and we get credit. Also, big part of our general operating budget. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, and so much more. Robes, slippers, sandals, towels. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. And then, of course, the My Coffee is available at mystore.com. This is very, very popular. Very popular. 100% organic. It's not been sprayed. Again, you use that code B66. You'll save 25%. Light roast, medium roast, dark roast. 100% organic. You can get that only at mystore.com. Be sure to use the promo code B6 to save. They also have the coffee pods now as well. Those are very popular with about 34% of the folks, I was told, order those coffee pods. So that's how we support all that we're doing. Joining me once again are Drs. James Thorpe, Dr. Lee Merritt, Karen Kingston. And I want to go to a quick little video clip to show what 60 minutes, what 60, Logan, hopefully you got this. I emailed it to you. A lot of No, we'll go until I say stop. A lot of times, by the way, folks, we're producing this show live on the fly because things come to my head and think, hey, we should show this, we should show that. So we're always communicating by text. If some of you always wonder, what's he doing on that phone? He's producing the show. Plus, I have guests that are coming up a day or two from now. They're confirming their appearance here. So we're always working, folks. We're multitasking. But, yeah, I sent over while the show got started this clip. We've played it before, but I want to play it and have this distinguished panel respond to Mike Wallace. Back in about 1976, late 76, 77, after the swine flu. Remember that, folks? Roll up your sleeve, America. I was a young kid in 76, but I remember it living in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. Where are these kind of reporters today? Look at the investigative research done by Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes. Watch this.
The flu season is upon us. Which type will we worry about this year? And what kind of shots will we be told to take? Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot. We pick up the story back in 1976 when the threat posed by the swine flu virus seemed very real indeed.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States, as well as 20 million deaths around the world.
See how easy it is to...
Thus, the U.S. government's publicity machine was cranked into action to urge all America to protect itself against the swine flu menace.
Influenza is serious business. During major flu epidemics, millions of people are sick and thousands die. Well, this year you can get protection. The vaccines are safe, easy to take, and they can protect you against flu. So roll up your sleeve. Protect yourself.
One of those who did roll up her sleeve was Judy Roberts. She was perfectly healthy, an active woman, when in November of 1976, she took her shot. 2 weeks later, she says, she began to feel a numbness starting up her legs.
I joked about it at that time. I said, I'll be numb to the knees by Friday if this keeps up. By the following week, I was totally paralyzed.
So completely paralyzed, in fact, that they had to operate on her to enable her to breathe. And for 6 months, Judy Roberts was a quadriplegic. The diagnosis? A neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS for short. These neurological diseases are little understood. They affect people in different ways. As you can see in these home movies taken by a friend, Judy Roberts' paralysis confined her mostly to a wheelchair for over a year. But this disease can even kill. Indeed, there are 300 claims now pending from the families of GBS victims who died, allegedly as a result of the swine flu shot. In other GBS victims, the crippling effects diminish and all but disappear. But for Judy Roberts, progress back to good health has been painful and partial.
Now, I notice that your smile, Judy, is a little bit constricted.
Yes, it is.
Is it different from what it used to be?
Very different. I have a greatly decreased mobility in my lips. And I can't drink through a straw on the right-hand side. I can't blow out birthday candles. I don't whistle anymore, for which my husband is grateful.
It may be a little difficult for you to answer this question, but have you recovered as much as you are going to recover?
Yes, this is it.
So you will now have a legacy of braces on your legs for the rest of your life?
Yes, the weakness in my hands will stay and the leg braces will stay.
So Judy Roberts and her husband have filed a claim against the U.S. government. They're asking $12 million, though they don't expect to get nearly that much.
Judy, why did you...
All right, we'll pause it there. And they got basically nothing. I just looked it up. That aired on Sunday night, November 4th, 1979. Logan, what I'd like you to do real quick, if you would, is advance it to the 11-minute mark. Because in the 11-minute mark, there was a very interesting interview with Mary Tyler Moore. Now, Mary Tyler Moore, by today's standards, would be an anti-vaxxer and a nut job and a conspiracy freak by what she's saying. But notice how the standards have changed, folks. Mary Tyler Moore, you know, what she's saying is reasonable and sound and good thinking. And what Mike Wallace was doing was good old-fashioned investigative journalism. You do that today, the Biden regime says you're potentially a domestic terrorist. Watch this part of the segment from 1979, 60 Minutes.
Did you get permission to use their names in your campaign?
I do not know.
Mary, did you take a swine flu shot?
No, I did not.
Did you give them permission to use your name saying that you had or were going to?
Absolutely not. Never did.
Did you ask your own doctor about taking the swine flu shot?
Yes, and at the time he thought it might be a good idea. But I resisted it because I was leery of having the symptoms that sometimes go with that kind of inoculation.
So you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Have you spoken to your doctor since?
Yes.
And?
He's delighted that I didn't take that shot.
You're in charge. Somebody's in charge. There are...
This is your advertising strategy that I have a copy of here.
Who's it signed by?
This one is unsigned.
Yeah, and I think that's the guy over at the CDC, if I remember correctly. I think he was at the CDC. Do you want to comment on that, Dr. Lee Merritt, to start with? We'll have all three of you comment on that. You want to comment on that segment?
Well, first of all, vaccines weren't profitable back then, so there probably wasn't as enough money. We didn't have everybody bought in those days. We didn't have the PrEP Act. We didn't have, you know, the fact is now they own the CDC, the pharmaceutical companies for a long time have owned the CDC. That's their cheering squad. And then they own the FDA. They do their own self-regulation. You know, they own all the congressmen. They're the number one money going into all levels of government. And they're the number one, other than this channel and a few other, the alternative media. Thank God for the alternative media. They basically are the number one promoter, payer for all the advertising and all the things that keeps the main networks going. So what do you expect is going to happen? You know, money drove that. So... Wow. That's what's happened.
Karen, you want to comment? And also then we'll show a chart that you want to speak to.
Yeah, aren't pharmaceutical lobbyists, don't they spend more, 250% more than gun control, than gun lobbyists now? Yeah, the government, I mean, they're the highest investor. I think what we were watching was Mary Tyler Moore's name or image was used in a CDC campaign to get people vaccinated. I think that's what we were.
Without her permission. But she noticed she didn't take the shot, and her doctor was trying to get her to do it, and she wouldn't do it. And then she was reporting that her doctor was glad she didn't do it.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I think the concept of using a celebrity to say, "Look, I did this, so you should do it too." It's like, you know, there's a lot of people. Doctors, celebrities, politicians who have said that they've gotten the shot and they're lying to you. And if you don't believe me, then I bet you believe that Jennifer Aniston uses Suave shampoo. You know, it's just an old marketing technique, right? So in this case, they didn't get Mary Tyler Moore's permission or compensate her. But, you know, I think the American people, just the takeaway message is just know. Just because someone's saying something, whether it's President Biden, whether it's a doctor that you trust, or whether it's a celebrity like Mariah Carey that said they got the shot, or a politician, there's a good chance they could be lying to you. It's called sales. That's what it is.
Marketing.
And it's marketing. Marketing and sales, yeah.
Do you want to speak to this graph? You want to speak to this chart, Logan? I'm going to put that up. We'll have Karen speak to that chart.
Yeah, sure. So this came from Steve Kirsch's newsletter, and this is data that he acquired that's not publicly available. It's from the Social Security database. And as you can see, on September 9th, 2021, the deaths for adults aged 18 to 55 reached a peak, you know, an all-time peak in over a decade of a 60% increase. You know, and again, the cause of this is, as Mark Stein says, unknown. Unknown cause. This is quite alarming. This again goes in like this is these kind of numbers that you would see in this age demographic typically would happen in a war, you know, Or like what happened in 1918, if there actually was a highly deadly, highly infectious virus that was unleashed on, you know, the human population, then you might see this. But, you know, there was SARS-CoV-2. It's not that deadly. Dr. Anthony Fauci opined in February of 2020 in the New England Journal of Medicine in a publication called COVID-19 Uncharted Waters. Dr. Anthony Fauci, his words not mine, that the case fatality rate of SARS-CoV-2 is close to the seasonal flu of 0.1% and not similar to MERS or SARS-CoV-1, which could be up to 20% death rate. So it's the same as the flu, and you don't typically see a 60% increase in young, healthy adults because of a bad flu season. You just don't. I mean, a bad flu season, you see maybe 60,000 deaths, according to the CDC, across the overall population. The majority of those deaths are people over the age of 85 and 75 years of age. And, you know, you can't explain this other than the only new variable that's been introduced to this population, 18 to 55, is the COVID-19 injections. So that's what it's attributed to.
Dr. Thorpe?
Yes. I'm full lock and step barrel with Karen. And also with Dr. Merritt. The only difference between 1976 and now is tens of billions of dollars payout from the Department of Health and Human Services, which was funneled through an organization that was developed in early 2021 called the COVID-19 Coalition Corps, C-O-R-P-S. And the CCC, COVID-19 Coalition Corps, funneled not tens of millions, not hundreds of millions, but tens of billions of dollars into every single sector of our society, including the hospitals, the NGO, medical boards, all of the macro influencers, the organic micro influencers in every city, all of the media, all of the social media, all of the big tech companies, all a huge number of the churches, of which we talked about last time. So that's the difference. It's become politically correct to get on the bandwagon and take your vaccination and hate those like myself and your other panel members that saw through the scheme and saw through the sham. I don't think that existed pre-1986 when legal immunity was given to the pharmaceutical industry. And so I think that's a really, really big factor. The other thing that we can now control, all the physicians are, they're all owned. There's very few physicians in private practice. All the laboratory cartels are owned, and they're run by many powerful individuals like Fauci and colleagues. So when I look back on my career, and I used to do a lot of invasive high-risk closed fetal surgery and sampling of fetal blood, amniotic fluid volume, and other sources of tissue or fluid in a fetus. And, you know, back, I think it was up until 2010 that we used viral cultures. And I was on a program earlier today and every Thursday with Judy Mikovits and several other rock stars like her. And, you know, she said a very interesting thing. She said they stopped doing viral cultures for diagnostic purposes after she was illegally put into jail and robbed of all of her personal and all of her research material, which is very interesting. So that all the massive amount of money is going into the PCR, polymerase chain reaction. It's completely supplanted viral cultures, the good old-fashioned viral cultures. So none of these tests have anything to do with a virus. They have everything to do with a controlled outcome. In other words, I can tell, if I were Fauci, they can tell you what percent you want the test to show positive for COVID-19. Interestingly, it's all rigged so that you can do a PCR depending upon what codons you put between the sequences and how many cycles you do. If you remember that when you do a cycle for a PCR, every single cycle that you do, you double the proband or the instrument or the codon, whatever you're looking for, whatever base sequence you see in a certain bacteria or virus, you amplify that, it doubles every cycle. So if you take something out from 18 cycles, if you go up to 40 cycles, it's going to be 100% positive. Or if you change the codons of what is in that PCR probe, you can come up with any results you want. Now they're doing a PNI, pneumonia and influenza, which is only combined with certain sequences. It's dictated by whatever those individuals want it to show.
Wow. Look at this. This is from Steve Kirsch's newsletter from 18 hours ago. Vaccines are taking an average of 5 months to kill people. The CDC has been hiding the Social Security Administration death master file. I got it from a whistleblower. We showed it a while ago. This shows deaths are taking 5 months from the jab to happen. This is why it's hard to see. So people are not associating the death with the vaccine when it's happening, I guess, 5 months after. But where do you guys see this going? I mean, do you see us as moving into 2023, the death rate continuing, getting bigger as cancers and other things happen? I mean, I noticed they're not backing off of this. In my worldview report tonight, I shared this report right here. By the way, we do put up the transcripts of my worldview report at worldviewtimes.com. We're a little behind. We're going to catch up over the weekend. But Zero Hedge reports that the Rockefeller Foundation and a slew of other elitist nonprofits are pumping millions of dollars into a behavioral science project meant to understand why large groups of people worldwide refuse to take the experimental mRNA jabs and then tailor a new, more convincing narrative on why people should take the injections. The Mercury Project, as it's called, is a collective of behavioral scientists formed by the Social Science Research Council, a nonprofit group funded by globalist organizations and governments. According to Zero Hedge, Mercury groups will be deployed in multiple nations and will study vaccine refusal and the medical so-called disinformation that leads people to reject Big Pharma's poisonous mRNA products. They're operating with the intent to tailor vaccination narratives to fit different ethnic and political backgrounds, looking for the key to the gates of each cultural kingdom and convincing them to take the jab. So they're not going to give up on this. They're putting millions into continuing the narrative and trying to get the people that are not vaxxed. So starting with you, Karen, what do you see going into the winter of 2022 and into 2023? Are we just going to continue to see this explosion of deaths? And will the world wake up any more than they have? Or have we already convinced the people they're going to be convinced and everybody else has lost all reason, logic, and context and is too consumed by their phones and entertainment and TikTok and Dancing with the Stars and can't make a connection between the shot and the people dying 5 months later, or, well, they just got cancer. So have we pretty much convinced the people we're going to convince, or will there be a continued spike in deaths that will wake up a lot of the people that maybe even are criticizing us right now? What say you first, Karen?
Well, there's going to be a continued spike in deaths, and then we know it's going to be a dark winter because those people that were injected, they have a reduced immune system, so they're going to be more vulnerable to respiratory viruses. But on top of that, they also have an overreactive immune system because now they've got ERD, right? So now they're going to actually be at an increased risk to have inflammation of the lungs if they're exposed to a virus, and they're going to have an overreactive antibody response. But then you're also going to have the deaths, the increased blood clotting, the increased inflammation of the heart and heart conditions, and then you're still going to have an increase in cancers. The question is, are people going to correlate this to the vaccine? Now, the quote-unquote good news is the New York Times ran an article yesterday saying that the far-left liberals sector of the American population is no longer concerned about COVID-19. So that's the good news. The bad news that we covered on your show, Brandon, a few weeks ago, is that our U.S. government already has stockpiled vaccines for Zika virus, Marburg virus, H1N1 flu, and a number and RSV and a number of other viruses. So they've already made prep declarations that these zoonotic viruses that are currently not even circulating in the American population are a threat to public safety. Those declarations have been made from 2017 up through 2020. Marburg's declaration was made in September of 2020. The vaccines are already stockpiled. So I think the population has woken up to COVID-19. I think the globalists and those who invested in COVID-19 were hoping that this would be a 10-year COVID-19 campaign. They spent a lot of money on the brand COVID-19. Whether or not they're going to walk away from the brand of COVID-19, I don't know. Now we're going to have Marburg, and it's going to be a Marburg coronavirus. So the question is whether or not people are going to wake up. But I want people to know how we got into this mess, because those behavioral insights, they've been tracking behavioral insights by country and even by community. So within countries, by counties, with the environmental messaging. So that's all been done by the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development for the last 10 years. There's 220 organizations in the United States that have been funding the behavioral insights of Americans and why we do what we do. And it's been around, are we gonna be compliant with environmental guidelines, even if those are to our loss or detriment? And those organizations include Harvard, it includes Yale, it also includes the IRS, it includes HHS. And what they found was that American people, if you tell them you should do this, it's for your best interest, the government's telling you to do this, the American people will say, no, thank you, I can decide for myself. If you tell the American people you should do this because it's in the best interest for you and for your family and your children, the American people will still say, no, thank you, I'm going to decide what's best for me and my family myself. Now, if you tell the American people you should do this, you should recycle because your neighbors are recycling, you kind of got our interest because we don't want to be the odd man out if the Jones and the Smiths are doing this and we're not. But if you tell the American people your neighbors are doing this and we're going to tell the Jones and the Smiths that you're not doing it and you're only less than 2% of people who aren't doing it, then you can get the American people on board. And that's why if you are employed somewhere or if you're looking at your county or town vaccination rates, I know people that worked at Pfizer. I know people that worked at airlines, or I worked with attorneys that worked with represented airlines. And what they said was everyone got an email or a letter saying, look, 98% of your department is vaccinated. Everyone got this letter that was between 92 and 98% of people were vaccinated. And then they asked their colleagues in the department saying, are you vaccinated? And they weren't. I know in San Diego, the numbers they were running in San Diego is 92% of San Diego's are all vaccinated. 90% of school-aged children in San Diego are all vaccinated. I don't know if those numbers are true because I know I'm not vaccinated, my son's not vaccinated, and a lot of other people who aren't vaccinated. So whatever happens to get us to comply with the next pandemic and terrifying scare bio attack on America, one thing I can guarantee your viewers is whatever they tell you is a lie. And it's a lie that has been scientifically, socially, and behavioral insight researched. And they know the exact thing to say to you to get you to do what you want. So keep in mind, when a sociopath wants you to do something, he does not tell you the truth. He tells you whatever it is that you need to hear to get you to do what he wants you to do. And that is what our government's doing. So no matter what you hear about Marburg or Zika or monkeypox, one thing I promise you is that it's a lie. It's going to be a lie. And no matter what you hear about what other people are doing in your community, if it's a majority number, it's also a lie.
Wow. 2 minutes left. Dr. Lee Merritt?
Well, I just have to say amen to that. I mean, there's something very wrong about the whole, whether you believe in viruses or not, that whole big controversy, not getting into it, but I'm just saying there's something very wrong about the whole issue of viruses. They're not pushing this because people were dropping over or ever sick. That when they really looked at this in 1918, they could not prove transmission of influenza. There's something that's not been proven. There's a lot of stuff here, but it all – you know, they created meningitis in 1918 before they created this, and they did it with vaccines. This is all about getting something into us. That is the motive. You know, the flu vaccine has not made any difference. They jig the numbers. It's all lies. They changed how they even Dr. Thorpe talked about this. They used to do viral cultures, but they admitted only about 3,000 people a year died of to 7,000 died of the flu. The rest died for, you know, something else. It never cultured that out. So It's all they're doing it with this exactly what Karen just said. It's all psychological manipulation. They psychologically manipulated us to stand in line and just do it without thinking, and we're going to pay for it. This is not good.
Dr. Thorpe?
For your audience out there, if you feel fear, that's coming from the enemy that wants you dead. That's what it says. That's what God told us 365 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do not fear. If you're feeling fear, you're making a bad decision. Mm. So stick with what you know to be true. Stick. I say amen to Karen. I say amen to Dr. Merritt. And stick with what you know to be true. Do not fear.
Give us your website, Dr. Thorpe.
I don't have a website. I'm too busy. But I do have a Getter account that can't be deplatformed. James A. Thorpe, M.D.
And you're Dr. Lee, you are a medical rebel, themedicalrebel.com, right?
Yep.
And Karen, are you KarenKingston.com?
No, but I do want to say your viewers should watch the interview that we did about James Giordano. So the next Marburg or outbreak, it's a bioweapon attack. We went over this.
Yes,
James Giordano explained what COVID-19 was. Yeah.
Okay, so what's your website before I lose you, though? What's your website?
You can go to Getter, True Social, Karen Kingston.
All right, I'm trying to help you guys. I want to promote. But your websites have been under your name at least Dr. Lee has and Karen has. And you'll find Dr. Thorpe on Getter. I keep pointing over here because the 85-inch screen television, they look great on it. All right, thank you. Remarkable panel. It'll go viral even after we go off the air, which is right now. Take care, folks.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you watched Worldview Report? That is our new nightly Worldview broadcast. It's a 30-minute nightly television broadcast. It takes about 7 of us 15 man hours a day to put this all together. You'll see what I mean and how quality it is when you watch it for free at WVWTV.com. That's our 30-minute new nightly news report. But you know what else we're doing? We're taking this and putting it at worldviewradio.com each day as an MP3. For those of you that want to just listen to it while you walk the dog, work in the kitchen, drive in the car, work out. So we're putting it up not only as a TV show, but as an MP3 as well at worldviewradio.com. We're also now taking my 90-minute live television show that airs Monday through Friday, Brandon House Live, and we're now posting that also as a free MP3 at worldviewradio.com. So you can listen to Worldview Radio, my daily radio show, as you have for years at worldviewradio.com. You can listen to my 30-minute nightly news broadcast as now an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. And you can listen to my 90-minute live television show now as an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. Now, not only are these all at worldviewradio.com, you can also watch them as a TV show at WVWTV.com. Now, here's the deal. Did you know we spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth, paying for the bandwidth for people to watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows for free? Not only that, do you know what it costs to keep a staff going that helps me with all this? Did you know that we also have a utility bill that is like $1,500 to $1,700, close to $2,000 a month? Because even in the Mid-South, pretty much have to keep the air conditioning going year-round or the servers could overheat. And we also are pulling a lot of electricity with our TV studio. So think about our utility bill, our insurance, the people we hire and have to pay to keep working on our team, the bandwidth we pay for, our broadband high-speed internet. You cannot believe the thousands and thousands of dollars it takes to do the television and radio programs we're doing at the quality we're doing them. Please go right now to WVWFoundation.com and make a contribution. WVWFoundation.com. You can also use our mailing address, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Thank you so much for your support.